Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Going.
We're talking about books on The Last Call. I was trying to find one that I had. You see this?
Oh, yeah. 1950.
McGraw-Hill. Plane and Spherical Trigonometry.
Wow.
Yeah, I had them. We were talking about this. I have them all stacked up here. I've been rearranging stuff. And we were talking about, you know, clinging to books.
Maybe it's time to revise that. I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, maybe it needs to be updated. It's one of my favorite. This is a navigational trigonometry. And like 80% of the book looks like this.
Ooh.
It's just tables. Because, you know, no calculators. This was 1943.
Hi, everybody out there. It is good to connect with you all virtually. Donna, everybody's enjoying your throwback book collection.
I know. You know. I've been going a little crazy sitting.
Okay.
We are already recording. Hey, Archie. Thanks for coming. Good to see you. Hi, Susan. Hi, Michael. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, all.
I'm so excited that everybody was still able to join us virtually. We're getting a great turnout today for this virtual AMATIC. I'm sure a lot of you are coming from either other sessions. I know we had a really great keynote playing John Urschel's speech that he gave at our MVP Summit a few weeks ago. We also had a really fun video that welcomed everybody virtually to Spokane, even though we can't be there in person, from one of our teammates, Debbie McFarlane, which was fun. And then I know Elizabeth Peters just led a session earlier this morning. I think Jessica LeCurry and Amy Hatfield from Columbus State led a session this morning. And so now we get to turn over the floor to our esteemed colleagues, Julie Miller and Donna Gerken. And they're going to share a little bit more with you guys about a new-ish book. So it's new-ish in that it's been out for a year. But you know, these two are no strangers to this market and to teaching really up and down the algebra track for students. So Julie has a developmental math series book spanning basic math through beginning intermediate. And then she and Donna have a series of books that cover the collegiate track. So college algebra, trigonometry, pre-calculus, and now the latest edition, college algebra with co-requisite support, which we're extremely excited about. These two and my colleague Brittany have worked very hard to bring this book to life. And they're excited to share a little bit more about that backstory for you guys to understand what separates it and why it can be a really great resource for anybody teaching or any student in a co-requisite course. So I will turn it over to Julie to take it away.
Thanks so much. No, I appreciate it. And before I share my screen, I just wanted to say hello to everybody. And I see we have people from all over the country. Donna and I are both from Florida, and we just had our last tropical storm, hopefully, crossed for the year. And I really appreciate everybody coming to join us today. I know it's been such a challenging year. And, you know, to be able to do this event virtually and have everyone join is wonderful. So I don't know, Donna, if you want to say hello as well.
And hello, and I hope she's right that was our last tropical depression storm. All I know is all my friends are learning the Greek alphabet. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. We hope everybody's staying safe, and I know it's been a challenge teaching. You know, I hope this doesn't last too much longer, but we'll just persevere and do what we have to do, I think, to make our students successful. So with that in mind, I'll go ahead and start sharing my screen, and we're going to talk about college algebra with co-requisite support. And let me just try not to screw this up here. So there we go. Okay, so can everybody see a PowerPoint then from my screen? Thumbs up if we can. Okay, great. As we all know, that probably for the last 10 or 12 years, there have been data collected, persistence data collected, showing that students who place into pre-algebra or beginning algebra, some of the low-level math classes, often don't persist to graduation. And so I think a lot of state legislatures around the country were changing the way we teach dev math if we even teach it at all. And so what it did, I think, is it placed the onus on the faculty to come up with other solutions that could move students through developmental material more quickly, to get them into college level math courses more quickly, and kind of move them along in their college experience. And I think it's interesting that the background as to why we developed this book is the, again, you know, because of the fact that students were not persisting, I think there's three major obstacles, I guess, that maybe have caused this. One is that the long course sequences, you know, for a student who starts in pre-algebra, he or she may have to go to a minimum of 3 math courses even to get to the college level math courses. And that can be really overwhelming for students who are not strong in math. I also think that when they were taking developmental math classes, since they didn't count, the classes didn't count toward a degree, they felt like they were wasting time and money. And then I also think it might be, maybe there was a little bit of a stigma attached to taking such low level math when you're in college. And all of these reasons, and you know, life, some of their life problems also kind of got in the way. And so our students were not being successful. And so once we realized that sort of the temperature of the country was changing in terms of how developmental math was going to be approached, McGraw-Hill and Donna and I wanted to go through and develop a textbook that would help with a college algebra course that would help incorporate review content for the students who were a little bit weak. So the first thing we noticed is we didn't want to do a cut and paste book. So we had numerous focus groups and symposia to talk to faculty and students. And we realized that what they really didn't kind of want to do is they didn't want to just have a, you know, 6 chapters of intermediate algebra followed by, you know, 6 or 9 chapters of college algebra. Instead, they thought that maybe incorporating or weaving the review content into the college algebra content would be the best approach. So it's kind of the just-in-time approach where students would be fed review content as they needed it while they were learning college algebra content. And the other thing we kind of thought about as we were writing this textbook is if we were tutoring a student, you know, who was kind of struggling a little bit with some gaps in his or her knowledge, how would we, if we were tutoring that student, what would we do to kind of bring them up to speed? So after, again, having these, you know, having data collected from, you know, faculty and students, we came up with sort of 9 categories or 9 different areas and features that we wanted to incorporate to help, you know, make this product more accessible to, you know, weaker students who are maybe finding themselves in college algebra. And I have slides to kind of outline each of these, but in short, we wanted to try to, again, infuse review content where we could. We wanted to make our examples more accessible to those students. So in places we made the examples have more detail, and we also added extra examples where we thought we could, you know, help them along a little bit more. We also wanted to make the chapters shorter so that that would give faculty more room, so to speak, to incorporate review content. And of course, we wanted all of our ancillary materials, our supplements, our digital experience to reflect what we were doing in the textbook as well. So let me kind of go through these bulleted lists with examples for you. So first of all, our review chapter in this book, and it's only 3 sections long, and we call this like sort of essential review, like kind of we couldn't really kind of needed to have these skills before we could really move on to anything. And in particular, the very first section in the book was covering fractions. And obviously students need to be able to do this before they can do this, and certainly before they can go into a trig course and try to add angle measure and radians. So we know that students struggle with fractions, even up to trig and even calculus. So we actually put this in the book so we could assign, you know, actually assign content if we needed to. And then other review content we tried to infuse into the college algebra material. So for example, teaching absolute value to represent distance was normally considered kind of in the review section. And now we do it, we present this before we cover absolute value equations. Because now we can look at an equation like this and we can say the solution set is a set of all real numbers that are 2 units from 6 on the number line. So we can kind of tie in, you know, the concept of distance to the equation. Another place that we were trying to infuse review content is when we teach rational exponents. So we teach rational exponents before solving rational exponents in equations, or in factoring with rational exponents. So we want to present what do rational exponents mean before we actually end up going and factoring, doing a factoring and a kind of an advanced factoring problem like this. And then certainly before we teach equations with rational exponents, it's nice to know that this really means this is a cube root and we can end up cubing both sides after isolating the radical. Another step that we took in developing this book, we wanted to increase the number of steps and the accessibility for our examples. So to give you an idea, this is on our traditional college algebra book where we took liberties in thinking that our students were maybe a little, you know, they were STEM students, they're kind of on their way to taking maybe higher level courses. And we ended up, you know, not maybe putting in as many details as we normally would for a developmental math student. So here we're finding the, we have three different points. We have to determine if these define the vertices of a right triangle. So in our new co-requisite college algebra book, notice that there's so much additional detail that we've put into this example. So we, you know, remind them of what the distance formula is. We, you know, kind of put the distance formula where they can see it, and we apply it three different times with the steps of how to do the simplification inside. And then we apply the Pythagorean theorem at the end. And I do want to point out that this is not going to hurt the traditional college algebra student. It's only going to help those students as well. But we do think it'll help students who have may have some gaps in their knowledge that they can follow the examples a little bit better. Here's a second example where we expanded our examples. So here's a function where we're doing two rigid transformations. And this is the third example of this. So we kind of do this in one step in our traditional college algebra book. And then a college algebra book with co-requisite support, we're showing more detail. So we show the shift to the right first, even with some graphics. And then we show the shift downward. And then we also show how, you know, strategic points are moved from one point to another for each of the two shifts. So again, we're just giving a little bit more detail than we did in our traditional college algebra book.
Can I mention here too on that last slide?
Sure.
That movement that we're showing in the textbook can be mimicked in the Alex homework assignments, where students actually have they start just like this looks, they start with a curve and they can move it left, right, up, down. So it in essence, it does follow this example as you're doing it there, but students are moving a cursor on the screen to get the figure to move rather than redrawing it.
That's right. All of the digital components have been developed so that they can mirror the book experience, the pencil and paper experience. And so the Alex tool actually has a like a little tool where you can actually do the shifting or the stretching and shrinking and the reflections. Another thing we wanted to do is if the level of difficulty increased too rapidly, maybe for this new population of students, included more examples. So here we have three examples for graphing equations, nonlinear equations by plotting points. But in the new book, we have the same three examples, but we included two additional problems of linear sense. So we try to have the easier case presented first before we moved into the more difficult graphing problems. So we had not only increased the amount of detail per example, but we also added more examples, especially to make sure that the level of difficulty was, you know, incrementally increased at small increments. Another thing we wanted to do, we got in our feedback from faculty and students is when we're presenting new college algebra content, a lot of times we wanted to have the skill set that the students need to be successful in those college algebra skills. We wanted to make them very easily accessible on the page. So here's an example where we're writing the equation of circle in standard form. So I would think I would want to make sure my students knew how to square a binomial properly, because we all know that that's always often a disaster. And then to be able to reverse the process and complete the square. So then we have these four review boxes in the margin. And so again, we go through the prerequisite skills here, but we also tell them the place in the book where this is reviewed in more detail. So the students could go back to section 2.2 to be reminded of how to square a binomial, and they can go back to section 3.5 where we first present the idea of completing the square. Another thing we did was we wanted to make sure that the review exercises at the beginning of each section, so the section ending exercises, had a very robust prerequisite review exercise set. So again, this exercise set is dealing with the section on circles. So we would expect, we want to make sure we can complete the square, we can apply the distance formula, we can expand a binomial, and we can factor perfect square trinomials. So that's what each block of these exercises do. And also notice that the even and odd exercises are paired. So you could, you know, do one of these in class and assign the other for homework. And notice that we try to really break it down into, you know, all the different cases they might see. So in this first case, in question number one, we have a coefficient in the middle term is even. Then we have a coefficient in the middle term is odd. And then we have a coefficient in the middle term is a fraction. So we really try to look at all the different scenarios that could come up and make the students successful with their prerequisite skills before they tackled the college algebra assignments. All of these are assignable through the Alex homework. You could even do this, you could assign some of these before you covered this section, or you can assign it with the homework for the section. The next thing we did is we looked at the end of chapter summaries. In our traditional college algebra book, we made this very brief. For each section in the book, we stated the key formulas and key ideas, and then we gave a page number for the reference so the student can go back. If I don't remember how to apply the distance formula, I can jump back to page 167. But we thought in the new book, we wanted to be a little bit more robust with our review. So the new summary is we have the same key concepts and key formulas, but notice that in the middle column here, we have an example of each. So we talk about all the key formulas in the first column, give an example of each, and then we give a page number reference for them to go back to get more detail if they want to. The last thing we did with in terms of the textbook is we also wanted to make our chapters a little bit shorter that would enable faculty to bring in review content as well, because you know we want to leave room for you folks that you could have some review content if you needed to when you're giving tests and everything. So chapters 5 and 6 in our co-requisite review college algebra book used to all be one chapter in the original college algebra book. So functions and relations and transformations and analysis of functions used to be all one chapter, in particular because a lot of the material in chapter 5 is review, you know, from intermediate or some review from intermediate. So this way, we're breaking it down into two different chapters that leaves you room to put in some review content if you want to. And another place that we did that is in covering polynomial and rational functions. In our traditional college algebra book, this is all one chapter, whereas the co-requisite support book, we've broken this down into two chapters, and we've even taken the section on rational functions and we've split that into two sections. So this first section kind of deals with talking about end behavior, infinite behavior, finding asymptotes, and so on. And then the second section is actually where we get into the nuts and bolts of graphing. So we just break it up a little bit, make it smaller chunks for these students. I thought that might help them and the instructors. And then finally, I wanted to talk about that, you know, again, when we go into all of our supplementary content, our video content has been expanded right along with the book. So we have more than 900 videos for this new textbook. Some of the videos obviously go with the review content and there others go with college algebra content. And then beginning in June, Alex will enable instructors to assign the videos and you could assign the videos even along with a little worksheet for the review content if you wanted to. So I'm gonna turn it over, I guess, to Donna now to talk about some of our other strategies for incorporating review content into your course, so.
Okay, so we all know the problem. The problem is nobody knows what this is going to turn into, okay? Nobody knows exactly how to handle students that are underprepared. God knows we've been all getting them forever, but not kind of in the massive amounts we're getting now with possibly at least in the state of Florida, instructions coming down from the top saying, oh no, you have to teach this way or that way. You have to include or exclude. So what we've tried to do is redesign the book in partnership with everything. So we looked at our regular kind of homework that you're used to using with all our other books. We looked at the Alex version. We looked at the worksheets, the lecture notes, everything to see how it is this would be delivered. And the other thing we looked at was feedback we had from all the different styles that people are starting to do around the country. Some people are going completely online. Some people are still teaching a college algebra course where they send students to the lab for remediation. There's a huge, massive variety of ways to do this. So we changed some things. We made things a little bit different, especially for people who might still like to do things paper and pencil or give assignments. So we have two different kinds of reviews going on. What Julie had previously shown, which was in the paired review that you have in the right before the exercise sets, somebody had asked if what we're showing is what the students see. This is the faculty view where you see the answers in green. The students wouldn't see this. When you go into your Alex homework, you have the option to pick these also. So these can be assigned in the online homework system. They can be assigned face-to-face. You do one, they do one. Or you have another style completely, also a review, also for a prerequisite or more likely a co-requisite. And these are very similar. So the sample you see below is also asking you to factor completely. But the difference in design here is these are designed to be done as worksheets, physical worksheets that a student would have. So visually, you notice that the top row has the nice numbers, and the bottom row has the same numbers, but now they've turned nasty. So you still have, yes, look and see, there's a 49 on the end. The 49 is still on the end of number 15, but now it's in the denominator. So the progression is the kind of thing you would do in board in on a board in the classroom. You would put one up and you say, okay, you like that one? Well, what if I change this? What if I change this? What if instead of giving you 36 at the end, I make it 1/36? Do you understand how that's going to change? This is designed for you to talk about it interspersed. These are Word documents, which means you can make your own worksheets. You can alter these. You can take out things. You can put things back. You can write into them. You can have students write into them if they're working with tablets on a screen. They can show you the work, or depending on how you have it set up. And this is the same kind of philosophy that we also have with the lecture notes that we work on. I have too many screens here. Let me get this out of the way. And Julie?
All right. Okay.
There we go.
All right.
One, I'm looking at my own PowerPoint, and then I'm looking at this one. Okay, so the lecture notes are also similar to the co-requisite worksheets. These are Word documents. They are 100% editable. You can change them. They have a slightly different style. They follow the objectives in the book. Most of these have a sample problem that notice is already worked out. In this case, graph a circle. So these are the steps you would see in the book. The difference here is if you would like to work this yourself, you can just click on those pictures and take them out. You can click on the numbers and change them. You can alter this however you want to do to give to your students. Next one. I think there's more on this one. There awesome. We go. Okay. So you can change these just by cutting and pasting from anything else you already have, or work on it in another way entirely. My lovely, there we go. Okay, so what's the difference between the two styles? So here they are side by side. The co-requisite workbook are the things you need to do before you get into working on, say, solving quadratic equations by factoring, or can be done alongside it, literally working together. You see in the lecture notes, you have the definition, you have the same steps that are in the book, and then you have an example. This is the solutions version, where what you see is the handwritten answers that you will see in your solution sheets. The reason they're handwritten is so you can actually see how much writing and how much space you have in case you want to alter these before you hand them out. When I was doing lectures in my classes, I used the lecture notes literally as my lecture. I would bring it up on my tablet and I just write into it, just like you would write on the board. And at the end of the class, I would send them to a student. You can do exactly the same thing, say for a class that's totally online. Students don't actually have to see you. What they see is the magic writing appearing as you're writing into the lecture notes. Or you can edit these so that that writing appears as you're talking, similar to a PowerPoint. The one next to it is the COREC version. So notice that what the concentration here is bringing them up to speed in factoring, because they're going to have to factor to solve these. So very easy factoring, 6x minus 24. And then the one next to it says, okay, what if we now have x's in both of them? What if we have what they consider to be the normal trinomial? What if we have a square at the end? What if we're missing the middle term? I mean, basically it steps them through a sequence that can be discussed. We also have the part that they should already know how to do, which is to solve for x. In other words, this should not be new material solving this little baby equation set equal to zero. And it should also not be new material that they should get all the terms on the same side of the equation. These are prerequisite steps for being able to solve the quadratic. So sometimes you might want to do this before you even get into finishing the problem and putting it all together for them. Madam?
Okay.
In the Alex homework assignments, you'll see up at the top, you have things that say Alex topics and things that say textbook questions. So the textbook questions are the non-adaptive assignments. They regenerate every time. They're totally unique. They follow the textbook exactly. Okay, so when you see an example done in the textbook and you see the steps that are done, even down to the colors and stuff like that, that will be the exact solution that you would see in the textbook question homework. What you'll also see is that when the examples have changed in this new version, like from the College Algebra to College Algebra Co-Requisite Skills, where the examples have expanded in this book, they have also expanded in the online homework. In other words, this is not exactly the same online homework. Everything was redone to match the book exactly. So you still have that fidelity between the amount of steps. Also notice there's where you'll find, I'm pointing like you can see my screen, okay? That's where you find the R exercises that are the prerequisite review. And I'm sure the lovely Alex demo that's coming up will show you, you can assign prerequisite exercises and make it so that they can't get into the regular homework until they finish those. Or not, you know, if you're feeling generous.
Yeah.
So Noah is going to talk a little bit more about the adaptive assignments in Alex. Noah, would you like to share your screen or?
If you don't mind driving, that's fine.
I'm a good clicker. I can do
that. You are a good clicker. I appreciate it. So to build on what Donna was just sort of talking about, and really actually let me take a step back. So I think when I look at this from a high level, when I look at this product, I see two themes. The theme that I see and that we've sort of branded and used with this book is built from the ground up. And I hope you understand what we mean when we say that. Julie and Donna, you know, it started with just their idea and their approach to the textbook, not wanting to simply cut and paste solutions that we already had together, but truly taking an approach to building something new, unique, founded on research. And that's why we wanted to involve instructors and students in the process. And now you get to see the end result. So I hope that speaks volumes. And I hope that is something that you see as valuable or differentiating. And so you have this theme of like built from the ground up, right? And I love that. And in a way, Alex is the same thing. Alex was built from the ground up in that it was founded on an NSF grant. It was not, for those of you who may not know, it was not created by McGraw-Hill. It actually was a startup of sorts, thanks to an NSF grant, a lot of research, some mathematicians and computer scientists. And so, that's like where Alex has has been. And Alex is rooted in research and analytics. Most people know that, but what they may not know is where Alex is going. And that's what Donna just shared with you. It's these non-adaptive assignments, being able to give you the flexibility to create a course that fits your approach no matter what. It's still going to have the ability to personalize some of the content and meet each student where they're at with this, with these adaptive assignments. But we also have been really, really focused these past few years and will be focused these next few years on continuing to make the platform flexible. Flexible for you, for your approach, for your class, whether that's because you're being told you need to implement a co-requisite, whether you're having to abruptly take your face-to-face lecture class and move it online, whether you're now researching hybrid or high flex models or fully online, if that's something new to you. We want to create a platform that has everything that you need to adapt it to your various course offerings and still deliver an important and impactful experience for your students. So that's what I want to just share. I want to highlight a few things specifically within Alex that we have learned from working with instructors who are teaching in co-requisite college algebra and teaching with, Donna's book. Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of times when you start to see new technology or you're forced into new technology, like everybody had to jump online, whether they were ready or not, it's very distracting and very intimidating. But this composite that we put together between the book, the notes, the handouts, Alex, adaptive, non-adaptive, the videos that are going to be added in, I like to think of this as no instructor left behind, okay? No matter what style of teaching you have, whether you're the kind of person who said, oh my God, all I wanted to do was pick up my notepad, walk into my class, explain everything to them and leave. That's what you want to do. You can still achieve that online. What Alex does for you and what this book does for you is it also adds in an element that you can follow students online the way you would normally do in a classroom, but you can't get at a distance. So for example, how you do assignments. When you do your assignment, you'll be able to check and see if they've completed, how much time they took. Just like you would in a classroom. You give an assignment out in class, are you there watching them and saying, oh God, everybody's doing this way too long. Let me jump in. We're trying to duplicate everything there that you had before in a face-to-face class. I'm done.
Thank you. That's good context. So, Julie, do me a favor. Back up one slide real quick.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Big job, Julie.
Okay.
So, I want to reiterate here, right? So, like, what we're seeing here is the ability to build non-adaptive assignments. Think of as exactly what's on the screen. Classic homework exercises. These are problems from the book. A lot of you may like to have notes and markups in your copy, in your annotated instructor's edition copy of the book. So that way you go in later and that's exactly what you reference to make your assignments for the students, right? We all understand how to do that. And then now, advance one slide, please, Julie. You also have the ability to do these adaptive assignments. And the main difference between adaptive and non-adaptive assignments is that in adaptive assignments, you're not selecting specific problems. You're selecting a topic. And these topics, they're mapped to the table of contents we see here for this book, but a topic is going to incur multiple iterations of a question for a student. So for instance, if I'm working through these, that first one, order of operations with whole numbers, instead of just getting one question on order of operations with whole numbers, I'm going to have 3 to 5. I'm going to have to get 3 to 5 right, actually, I should say, in order for Alex to have considered that topic learned for me. So there's a little bit more practice and skill and drill involved in going through topics. But what I'm going to show you here in a moment is how in a co-requisite course, you can structure the content so that the things students are doing in adaptive is things that you want to enforce mastery of, things that they're going to need to be successful if they're moving on to a trig or a pre-cal or whatever sequence, if they're moving along the STEM track, and also remediating and filling in the gaps early on in the semester, doing the things that they need to do to get up to speed, get caught up, especially in a co-requisite setting, right? We want to be able to help underprepared students and level the playing field as early as possible for all students. So Julie, if you would advance the slide, please. All right. So what I'm showing here, I'm going to show two different courses in Alex. This is like a syllabus. This is a list of all your assignments in Alex. And you can see here, if Julie clicks a couple times, I'll start to get some notations popping up. Okay. So that first assignment there, prerequisite review, that is an adaptive assignment. And I know that because, Julie, if you go ahead and click, I see it's topic-based, right? And also the type, but we'll get into that in a minute. So for in this course, students are going to come in, and the first thing they're going to do is they're going to review. They're going to have a refresher. They're going to get up to speed. It's just 27 topics of things that me as an instructor, I know are going to be really important for them to have rock solid as we move through the first few weeks of my course. Now, Julie, if you would please click again. The rest of my course here, my weekly homeworks and quizzes, they're just as they are. They're textbook based. You know, this is the way I teach. I start with 1.5, then I go to 4.5, 2.3. That's what my syllabus says. That's the way I've always taught. And that's the way I'm going to do. And I'm going to maybe weave in some of these prerequisite reviews along the way. But in a model where you want the course to be largely homework driven and due date based, here it is. This is what it looks like. But you still get to sprinkle in some of that review. Right. And now if you go to the next slide, Julie, I'll show you guys another model. Okay. Oh, and you can see, right? Those are all question based. Okay. All right. So here's another model. And these are real co-requisite college algebra courses from schools we work with, probably from people who are on this Zoom meeting. They might recognize this and be like, oh, that's my class. So if you go ahead and click again, Julie, to bring up my notations, you'll see, okay, now I can see the homeworks, what I've labeled as homeworks, are adaptive because I can see that they're topic based, right? And then if you click again one more time, Julie, I have these additional assignments called applied problems, which are also homework. But the difference in this course is that the day-to-day weekly homeworks are going to be adaptive. And then I'm going to sprinkle in some extra practice, things I want to make sure I expose students to, things that I want to make sure they get a little bit extra time on, or things that maybe I didn't get to cover in class, but it would still be helpful for them to know. But those homeworks are largely adaptive. So you can see there's a lot of different ways. I mean, we're just scratching the surface here at two different sort of models. But what I'm trying to convey is that you as an instructor in a platform that has adaptive and non-adaptive assignments and the ability to so easily interweave them for a prerequisite course, you have, like, the world is your oyster. You can structure in the prerequisites where and how you want them. If you want them more upfront, absolutely, we can put them more upfront for you. If you want them just in time and sort of structured throughout, you can absolutely do that as well. And then, of course, Alex has a lot of functionality built into it that is already very co-requisite friendly. So I would be happy to have those conversations, do more in-depth demos and go through some of that with you all. But for the purposes of today, I just wanted to sort of bring this functionality to the table and make sure everybody's aware of it, because it is still semi-new, and we're certainly doing research to make sure that what we are enhancing the platform with is relevant and helpful and intuitive for you and your students. So Julie, if you could just go to my last slide here.
Also mention these non-adaptive assignments can come from any book in the Miller collection. So if you know, whatever we've given you for remediation is just not quite enough, because God knows I've had classes where I thought there was no bottom possible to what I had to show them. You can go into, there's a drop-down menu when you pick your homework, and you can go into any other books. If you need to go down to pre-algebra or, you know, beginning algebra, you can do that also.
Yep, that's a good point, Donna. So when you're creating non-adaptive assignments in Alex, the default is going to be the textbook that's tied to your course, but you do have the option to change textbooks, and then you have the entire Miller library, as well as any other McGraw-Hill textbook, statistics, liberal arts, math, QR, whatever, to choose from when you're creating those. So yeah, that's a great point. Very flexible. Okay. Yes, so if you can, Julie, just get to my one final slide here, and then we can hopefully take some questions. I just want to, again, reiterate and get you guys thinking about Because again, it's up to you. It's you, the instructor, what fits your approach best. So as you think about what role adaptive could play in your course, and you think about what role non-adaptive could play in your course, and how the two blend and work together in tandem to create an experience for students that is conducive to learning, the possibilities are endless. And I just have to give a quick plug to our implementation team. So every single one of you has a dedicated Alex implementation manager that will help you build your course, will train you and just make sure you feel comfortable about the functionality. We'll help train your fellow peers and your adjuncts. They'll help you tweak your course, answer questions for you. I mean, they'll be your lifeline. Support is really what Alex does best, both through your implementation manager and then our actual support team based at the Alex office in Southern California. So I just want you to know that if you embark on this journey with us, with a pilot or an adoption or whatever, that we will be there every step of the way for you to make sure that you feel comfortable and build a course that's best for you and for your students. So.
So I guess at this point, should we take any, I don't know if there's any questions in the chat or anything?
There's one like, that I noticed in the Q&A that I answered one. I just answered yours, Kristen, and let me know if you need more information on that. There was another one asking about just student feedback after using this new first edition book. And it's a great question. It's actually something that we're going to be looking for. This was the first full semester that students were using it, and definitely getting feedback and hearing their perspective is important to us, and it's something that we plan to do, but we just don't have enough information just yet. The one thing I will say is that we haven't heard anything bad. Oftentimes, unfortunately, people are quick to complain if there's an issue. And we have not heard that from students. So at least we've got that going for us. And I trust that when we get some formalized feedback from students, we can share that. But I hope that it'll be positive. I suspect it
will. Brittany, don't forget, we do have from the first semester that this book was out, we did do some student surveys. And we have some of those that we can share. So I will actually make that a point to follow up on those because I remember some of the feedback. We wanted feedback specifically on features and then just also about usability and how they thought the course went. So I can dig that up and share it with everybody.
Great, thanks, Alan.
Yeah. And then Kristen had a question. She said, can the students have adaptive assignments that do not have to be completed before starting on the next non-adaptive assignment? And Alex, previously they had to master topics before moving on to the next. Yes, is the answer to that question, Kristen. That actually is a change that took place this summer, right, Brittany? Is when that changed.
So yeah, so you
don't have to have directly staggered, right? They could overlap or there can be gaps now. There's more flexibility in how you structure your due dates within a course.
Mm-hmm. And Kristen, we can talk to you. I think it seems like you've got some questions really about how you would create a fairly light adaptive course. And we have some models that we could show you that would help you maybe to better visualize how it would work. So we'll definitely make a note to follow up with you.
Yes, we will share. I forgot, Julie, I forgot that I had one more slide in there. So an example. No, it's my fault. I forgot about it. So this is just a graphic, but what it's conveying for all of you out there is the same thing that I've been saying all along. There's a model. There's some way to take this Alex platform and tweak it and make it your own. So we like to use this graphic as a way of showing like whether we call these boxes model one, model two, model three, model four. So wherever you find yourself on this sort of continuum of how much adaptive, how much non-adaptive, we have courses built like the ones I was just showing you. The first one I showed you was model one. It was light adaptive, heavy non-adaptive. The last one I showed you was probably between model two and model three. It was a fair mix of both, right? Those are real courses. We work with a lot of instructors who implement this in different ways. We can connect you with somebody and help you sort of start to draft out what that model would look like for you. Any other questions that I missed in the chat? Any questions for Julie and Donna about the book?
Looks like people are excited about it, which is great to see. Thank you, guys. Oh,
Brittany, there's a Elizabeth Peters asked a gradebook question. Can you put adaptive assignments and non-adaptive assignments in the same gradebook category?
No.
Okay. We are getting a new gradebook, though.
Yeah, we are. December 10th, we're having a great gradebook release. It's going to be reskinned and look very modern. It's going to allow for better filtering and sorting student groups and some really good improvement. So,
and have everything all in one place, so it's easier. You don't have to go through as many menus to get to what you want to do.
Yeah, they'll be better.
It's not a question. I have to say, I just saw a chat from Johnny Perez earlier. He said, Alex adds that element of giving students a personal tutor. So many students do not use their school resources or don't have the time. My favorite component in Alex. Oh, great plug, Johnny. Thank you.
Awesome. Very true.
And I didn't even have to pay him.
Much.
So a few of you were asking about cost. It will connect you, and we'll see. We'll have the log of all of these chats. So we'll connect you with your local team to address cost for your school.
Yep, absolutely.
And there are things, I mean, there's like a million things that can be added into this that, you know, in this amount of time, you can't even show. But pretty much in order to get help with this, the best way I can think to go about it is make yourself a list of how you want to teach. You know, what do you normally do? Do you normally just talk? Do you normally interact with students? Do you bring up something on the board and you prompt students to help you finish? You know, think about how it is you go through a lecture or assignments. And once you have that there, talk to somebody. You know, you can email Julie and I for the textbook part. You can talk to the people with the Alex team, and they can tell you how to change what you're doing just on the board into something similar in this. So you don't have to give up a teaching style that you are already comfortable with or that you like. You can adapt it.
Excellent. Yes, thank you, Donna. A couple housekeeping things because we are at time. Brittany just put a link in the chat for our trivia. We're having trivia / happy hour at 4 o'clock today, 4 Central. If you are still hanging around and want to join us for a little fun, we're gonna do breakout rooms for trivia teams. We invite you to bring a cocktail or two. I know it's been a long week, a long semester. And so we're just looking forward to a fun end of the day. Yeah, there might be Harry Potter involved. I don't know. I didn't get to make questions. Any recording of the session, I will follow up. I will email everybody who registered for this session with a recording. And then two other things. One, if you can, please try and attend the student panel. We're doing a student panel at 3 o'clock. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I'm really excited to hear from some of those students. And then I also just put one more link in the chat. It's for our survey. Please take our survey. You'll be entered to win, I think, $100 gift card. We want your feedback, more importantly. we just want to know how we did and what could be better. So I thank you guys so much for attending. And let's keep the conversation going. If you fill out the survey, you can let us know if you need anything. If you want a copy of this book, Julie and Donna's College Algebra with Co-Requisite Support book, please fill out the survey so it knows that we can send you one. If you want to be connected with your implementation manager to learn more about an Alex pilot, you can check that box as well. So thank everybody for attending. Julie, Donna, thank you both so much. Brittany, I appreciate you guys being on and for your time.
And Henry, I saw your question. I'll just quickly answer your question about how many chapters. I'd say most people get through probably the 10 to 11 on average, but it's completely, you know, up to the number of weeks in your semester, your term, and just how you lay out your content.
Yeah, they've changed. I typed them too. They changed to be smaller. So you may think, well, I was only covering 6 chapters before in College Algebra, and now I'm going to cover 10. But remember that some of these chapters have been split to feed the students the information in smaller bites.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, Julie, Donna.
Bye.
Everybody stay safe.
Bye.